Zombies, Government, and You podcast, the ZGY. And I'm here with my friend Jeremy, who...
Hello.
Where are you hailing from, dude? A van down by a river?
Sort of. Close.
No.
Close. There's no river. It's really dusty. Nah, we're in central Arizona,
yeah.
Living in a school bus.
Yes. Pretty sweet, man. So I had you on a while ago, and you kind of hinted at that. I don't know, for people who have listened to it or if you're new, returning. Jeremy is a good friend of mine. I've known him for, what, I don't know, 20, 30 years probably.
Yeah.
And he, you bought and repurposed a school bus, right?
Yeah, we bought a 1986 Bluebird school bus, 40-foot long school bus.
Nice.
$1,875 out the door. All in, we're... between 25,000 and 30,000, and it's gorgeous.
I've seen the pictures, man. It looks really cool.
Yeah, I'm proud of it. Don and I put a lot of love, a lot of time into it, a lot of hard work, and it's great. It's comfortable. It's tight. I mean, it comes with its own set of challenges for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But it's been good. It's
nice,
been
man. Good. Yeah, I was kind of hoping you'd drive it down here and I could check it out.
No, everybody says that. Is it parked outside? Can I see
it? Where is it?
At this point, it would take me half a day to pack up to be able to move.
No, yeah. I totally get it, man. but no, I just really thought that was a killer, man. I thought it was such a really unique way to kind of go about retaining or taking back some of, you know, your autonomy or individual freedom or liberty. So I just, you know, thought it'd be cool, man, get you on here and talk about it. But what was like the impetus, like, you know, what really, you know, when did you decide, like, I'm gonna live in a bus, I'm gonna buy a bus, I'm gonna turn it into a pretty kick-ass looking pad, and I'm gonna live in it?
For me, it started probably around 2007 is when I kind of started down the path of realizing that I was in a rut and needed to do something. But then fast forward to 2014 and I met Dawn, and I met her at a small community in Central California, not far from Santa Barbara, Quail Springs. I love that place. And we were doing a workshop there. We met, wound up together, and she was really interested in the tiny house movement.
Yeah.
And I think tiny houses are beautiful.
I dig them, man. I actually went and I stayed in one time. We went to San Diego.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To go to SeaWorld, and
okay.
We did the Airbnb thing. This guy had a little tiny house, you know, right off his property. You know, nice house up. It was a little in the hills, El Cajon or whatever. A little far from, but not too bad. But yeah, I just had it parked right there, man. Just a really nice little thing, dude. And I think a lot of people, we told people we stayed, oh yeah, we're staying in a tiny house, and they kind of give you like this weird
right,
look.
Yeah,
you know? But it was great. The guy was really nice. You know, super clean. Had this kind of like a, I don't know what you guys do for facilities, but the house itself had almost like a diaper genie. I don't know if you're familiar with what those
are. Yeah,
where
yeah.
You,
okay.
You put in, you know, it's like a soiled diaper, and it you know, twists around and kind of seals it up into like a little
yeah, nature's head.
What is that? Mylar type, you
yeah.
know. But there was one basically like you would sit on it, you do your business, hit the button, and it would just
oh, interesting. Okay.
And then every once in a while he'd have to come and like, you know, take it out and
right.
Maybe put more CO2 cartridges in it or whatever, but
yeah, ours is
it sounds funny, but it worked pretty well, man.
Yeah, ours works. That's probably a few thousand dollar system. Ours was less than $100, and I built it when we bought a urine diverter. I don't love it. It works.
it diverts.
Yeah, it works. I mean, it's maintenance, and it's cheap. It's cool, but sooner than later, we're going to spend
the
I think $1,200. And there's this thing called a Nature's Head. It's just a really nice composting toilet.
Oh, cool.
And they work very well.
Mm-hmm.
I have a couple friends that have them now, and they have no issues with them at all. But our bus is nice. You know, it has a shower. We've got full facilities, full kitchen. Mm-hmm. We do not have a freezer, and that was by choice and kind of rethinking that choice. But again, it's just a problem that's solved with money, and we haven't felt necessary to allocate to it. With changing diets, though, it's becoming more and more necessary. We've both started eating meat again. You know, trying to get it as ethically sourced as possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you mentioned you want to start hunting, and I'm like, well, you're gonna.
I've been on hunting. I've been on a few hunting trips, but I still haven't gotten
any. Somebody to put those back straps, buddy.
Yeah, I've gone to Texas twice, and the first trip we went, a couple buddies of mine each got pigs, but I didn't. And then this last trip, I'll talk about that with somebody who knows hunting. But I failed. We failed. It was still a great time, though. Texas is gorgeous. But yeah, I wanting to hunt, learning how to hunt, wanting to fish, needing to be able to store that. So
cool, man.
It's been an evolution.
So did you purchase land and then?
I bought land with a partner in 2010, mm-hmm. And then we paid it off with the generosity of others in 2013. So it's bought,
hashtag
paid for,
please,
it's
don't
owned. Me. Yeah, I'm always. But yeah, we paid it off in 2013. We just went up for my birthday. I'm 40.
Yeah, well, happy belated birthday, right?
Thank you. Yours is around the corner.
It's coming up.
Yeah. Yep. But
thanks for reminding me of that.
You're welcome. Yeah, we went up for my birthday and started a little A-frame cabin up on the property.
Nice.
And I mean, that goes back to the beginnings you asked. You know, one of the things that we have in common, the Liberty Movement, the idea of all of that, that in 2007, I started down that path and... You know, went the full gamut of conspiracy theorists and you know, bought the property ready to fight off zombies. And as I was learning how to survive the coming zombie apocalypse, I just kind of realized that a lot of the things that I was learning in permaculture sustainability, it's like, well, if we implement these things, then you kind of stave off the zombies in the first place. And, you know, an ounce of prevention.
I know there's some expression. It's like a worth a pound of something or other.
Yeah. But so we bought the property and you know, life changes, of course. Mm-hmm. And then bought the bus. And the bus was a cool process.
Now, did you buy the bus instead? Because it said, like, you own the property instead of, I guess, what made you decide to go the bus route instead of like a more permanent structure, like even like a tiny house? Because yeah, a lot of those you can take with you, but some of them are, you know, have foundations and all that. So
we have plans for, well, we just started building a little A-frame that's permanent. It isn't going anywhere. We got the roofing on and need to just put the sidewalls up, a little tiny 8-foot by 12-foot deck with an A-frame on it. With plans of earthships and all of that good stuff. But as far as...
I don't know what that is.
The earthships, really.
I know what spaceships are.
Okay. The earthships are really cool. They're basically houses built with trash.
Oh, okay.
Repurposed stuff. Mm-hmm. And their particular model uses tires for your main walls. They're incredibly strong. You know, I can go into all the specifics, but they're beautiful and they're self-sustaining. They stay at comfortable temperature in most climates, passively. All of the water is used and reused multiple times to grow food, yada, yada, yada. Mm-hmm. But then, yeah, I got sidetracked. Sorry.
No, I was saying, like, what was the impetus to get a bus instead of a
tiny
permanent
home
dwelling?
Permanent. We travel.
Yeah,
you know,
were you going to be that kind of doing the option to have like a
nomadic. Yeah, exactly. Like, I want the permanence of the property, but I don't want to be tied to it right now. Yes. And there's other properties that I'm associated with, friends that I have that have properties, and I want to be able to travel around. And now I'm in welding school. I'm a third of the way done with welding school, which is cool. And that's
always a skill. I always thought that'd be a great skill to have, and I just never managed to get enrolled. But
I love it. It's
now I'm just going to get you to teach me.
All right, fair enough.
See how it works.
But we actually did a tiny house workshop. We did kind of this weekend long intensive, like, this is the reality of living in a tiny house or building and living in a tiny house, and I'm super glad that we did it.
Try it before you buy it.
Yeah, okay. I'm super glad that we did it. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was just sitting at a table and looking at a presentation. Mm-hmm. But it made us realize that, you know, we're going to spend, you know, $25,000, $30,000 building this thing and then at least $15,000 on a truck to drive it around. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we bought the bus for, you know, $1,500 plus tax.
That's killer, man.
And it drives itself. So then mm-hmm. we had all of that money to put into it now.
Now, are there challenges associated with that in terms of getting repairs or replacement parts?
Yes and no. I mean, luckily, I did a bit of research before I bought the bus.
Something you can't really just take down to the mechanic.
Right. You know. Any diesel mechanic. So suddenly I understand, like, trucker knowledge. You know, I go to truck stops.
Nice. Yeah.
You know, now, you know, when I'm getting gas, it's easier. They know the purpose built. So the mechanics, as far as all that goes, my bus is old. It's an 86. But that motor is like the Chevy 350 of motors.
Nice.
You know what I mean? It's just, mm-hmm. there's a fair amount of aftermarket whatever for it.
Very cool. Very cool.
So, and also that motor was used by the military, that base mm-hmm. motor. So it can run on anything. I can put gas in it. I can put diesel in it. I can put used motor oil in it.
And hell yeah.
It's not happy about some of those things, but it'll run.
Until you get a Mr. Fusion, right? Like
right.
Back to the Future.
I'm working on it.
The flux capacitor right next to the urine diverter, right?
Right.
No, that's cool, man. So going through like the whole process of like, you know, deciding this is what you want to do. Okay, we're going to get a bus. And having it like in theory, we want to do this and then trying to like implement it.
Mm-hmm.
Is there, you know, was there a pretty steep learning curve? Like you mentioned, you kind of have to, you know, get used to a, you know,
because
we've all grown up for the most part in your standard home, you know,
right.
Or apartment or whatever,
right,
you know,
right,
traditional
right.
kind of American.
Three bedroom, two bathroom, right. Blah, blah, blah.
Uh-huh. Garage, right.
Right. Well, the building of it was definitely a challenge. I mean, I've never really been afraid of tools, but I was far from a craftsman. And there's one real cool thing about the bus. If you look at the closet, it's one of the first walls that I built. And then you turn right around and look at the pantry. And that's one of the last walls that I built. And you can see the kind
the
of...
The difference.
Yeah, like the cut in the closet has just got a little... But then you look at the pantry and it's laser straight.
Yes.
So the learning curve was steep, for sure. And then it living in it as well. Like, it took us 13 months to build it.
Mm-hmm.
And then we moved into it before we had a bathroom, before we had a shower.
Chamber pots.
The bathroom the bathroom got built rapidly.
Mm-hmm. That'd be a priority for me.
Yeah, for real. And then the shower, we just kind of used the shower space as storage for quite a while mm-hmm. until like October. We finally got a shower in October. But even then, like, we're still not fully off grid. We've lived a few different places. We spent the summer in Flagstaff last year, which
nice.
Was awesome. We were up near Hart Prairie, and the big fire in Flagstaff was mm-hmm. about 12 miles away, so we were far enough away to be safe, but still woke up a couple nights to smoke smell. Mm-hmm. But what was nice about it is everybody was afraid to go out that way because of the fire, so we had the whole forest to ourselves.
Nice.
it was pretty stellar. And then we've lived in a few places. We lived at the hot springs out in Tonopah for a while. That was pretty incredible. Wake up every morning and, you know, make oatmeal, make coffee, and go sit in hot water and drink my coffee and watch the sun come up. that was pretty killer. Did that for a while.
Yeah, I think that would be one of the big pulls, is that, you know, there, you know, is that ability to you know, pick mm-hmm. up and go if mm-hmm. you wanted to, you know.
Right.
A little bit so similar to the RV concept, just much
right.
cheaper.
Or
well,
can be.
Yeah,
can be.
Of, yeah.
Like we've talked back and forth. Well, not a lot, but we've had a few conversations. Like, wow, with what we spent and the time that we spent, we could have spent $10,000 and bought a 40-foot diesel pusher and just gone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and still, you know, saved that other close to $20,000. But at the same time, like, what would I spend on education to learn how to do what I learned how to do building that bus.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was college while building my house and paid for it for real. But now I have that skill set. Mm-hmm. So, you know, adding welding to that is nice. So that leads to the next thing is we wanted to be nomadic. So welding is nomadic work.
Yeah, so
in the
absolutely.
Next year, we're going to hit the road.
Cool, man. So, yeah. Sorry, I stayed up too late last night. Too many hazy IPAs. what the hell was I going to say? Oh, okay. What's kind of like a normal response? Like if, when people say they find out that your primary residence is a school bus.
I could never get rid of my stuff. I could never live in that that small a space.
I imagine you get some weird looks.
I get
right?
a lot of that. Not what? So much. It's been normalized in the last few years. Mm. It's kind of been. You know, people think it's cool. People really. Oh, I could never do that. Is probably the most common response. The people want to see it, of course. We haven't really driven it around too much. You know, we go somewhere and stop for a while and then, you know, drive just from point A to point B. But people like it and it definitely starts conversations.
Mm-hmm. Now, would that just be your primary mode of transportation or would you like, you know, have somebody following you in a smaller car that's maybe easier to get around to if you were going to a city or something?
Well, Dawn's got her car.
Right.
And I had my truck for a while, but now I just have a motorcycle. Mm-hmm. So we haven't traveled since I got the motorcycle yet. So I have safe places to park that for now. But we don't just go somewhere for a week. We're gonna move it for the summer. We're going to go park it up on my property for the summer, but we'll stay there for, you know, at least 3 weeks. What makes it worth it to do that.
Nice.
And then hopefully back to the same spot that we're parked now. It's been good. We've had issues in places parking. Dawn's a full-time teacher, so we have to be in the Prescott Valley area.
Mm-hmm.
So we, you know, we spent a few weeks at a friend's house, you know, at his property out in Williamson Valley. We went up on Mingus Mountain for a little while, paid to stay at a campground for a couple of weeks, and then moved up on the mountain outside of Prescott. And was interesting. We lived on this old gold mine, and all the mining equipment was still there. All the sheds, all the this beautiful house. And then we were actually where the bus was parked was one of the foundations for the smelter.
Oh, cool!
And we spent a couple of months parked there, but that had its own set of issues. and then from there, moved to where we are now, and that's been the longest we've stayed anywhere.
Mm. So for. For a power source, you say? Like, what do you do?
When we're
generators or
when we're boondocking, we've got 1,200 watts of solar with like 400 amp hours of battery, and that's double that of anything that we need. Mm-hmm. You know, our refrigerator is super low energy consumption.
Yeah,
it's a chest freezer, mm-hmm. and I took a beer brewing. Thermostat.
Mm-hmm.
You just plug that into the wall, plug the freezer into the thermostat, and then put the sensor down inside. So it takes it from a freezer to refrigeration temperatures. It uses a tenth of the power of your average refrigerator. But right now we're plugged in. So, cause we've got an electric heater, we've got a wood burning stove too, which is really nice. But, the wood burning stove is tiny. It's a cubic mini. So it's literally a cubic foot. It'll keep us warm. It'll keep us really hot for about an hour and then warm for about 2 hours. And then it's like it wasn't even on.
Then you have to,
yeah, you need to get up and start
fire it up again.
So, yeah, we've got one of those oil radiator heaters mm-hmm. that you plug into the wall. That does a really good job.
Okay, cool, man. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I imagine it would be a whole new trying to adapt to, you know.
Oh, it teaches
realities. You know, the things that you take for granted, like you said, refrigeration.
Water
you know,
is another
water,
big one.
Yeah.
Yeah, when we lived in Flagstaff. You know, we spent 2.5 months up there all total over the summer before she started school again. We hauled our water in 6 gallon jugs. So, you know, no showers. You know, we were still able to live a little opulently. Once or twice a week, we went and spent $15 each and went down to the Flagstaff Athletic Club, and they've got a hot sauna or a nice. Wet sauna and a dry sauna and jacuzzi and showers and mm-hmm. salt water, you know, the spa day. Literally, it was awesome. You go spend 3 hours there sitting in hot tub rotating.
Nice.
But for dishes and for day-to-day cleaning, out hauling 6 gallon jugs, I really appreciate that water.
Mm-hmm.
But it's amazing how quickly, once we installed our shower, it really... really quickly fall back into those habits of the 10, 15 minute shower. And you can really get it done in two. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So,
yeah, you gotta, it's the little things, man. You know, yeah, you got to enjoy it. You got to enjoy some of that. So,
right, right.
Yeah, I think that would be hauling water is something that people haven't had to do for quite some time. I think that'd be kind of a little bit of an eye opener.
Right, right. It teaches appreciation for sure.
Absolutely.
For sure. And the bigger, it's the bigger issues, it's like, see people spouting about things on social media. It's like, wow, you live a charmed life. We really live charmed lives.
Absolutely.
So, but the next plan I think, is, you know, as welding goes on, moving up to the property, getting things going on up there. We've got the first structure started. We've got storage. We've got lots of building materials to build other structures and, you know, have a comfortable place in the desert and,
nice.
So what about you, man? Tell me what's been going on in your world.
Oh, just been, you know, living the dream, you know. Summer is rapidly approaching, man. It's getting too hot already. So I think that would be, you know, one of the main appeals would be kind of be like a, we have our snowbirds here, right?
Right.
I would, you know, this way you could be a sunbird, you know, like get away from the sun. I'd gladly go live up in the mountains for about 5 or 6 months.
Right.
You know, during this time of year, but that's not really an option. So, no, but, you know, staying busy, man. I obviously haven't podcasted in a while. So I'm looking to kind of get that, obviously, back to being a more regular occurrence. Trying to do some more interest or branching out a little bit, like, you know, having different people on that have different interests, different experiences. Obviously, you're, you know, the first on that kind of thing that I'm doing right now. But I've just been trying to read a lot, trying to, I want to, working on my novel. So that's kind of been taking up a lot of time.
Okay.
That is a time suck.
Novel, fiction or nonfiction? Okay, cool.
Yeah, no, so.
One of my closest friends, Chris, is a writer.
Nice.
He's got little, God, how many books do you have? 5 books out now. Science fiction, time travel series. He's got a thriller series, and then he did one called Earned Innocence. I actually sent one to your brother.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I'll have to check that out.
That book was hard for me to read, man. It was. It's one thing watching like a TV show or watching a movie and seeing that stuff, you know, seeing war, you know, seeing the reality of it. And, you know, even watching the videos of the things themselves. But then as I'm reading this book and knowing that somebody that I really care about experienced this, like I put the book down for like 4 months and I couldn't pick, I'd pick it up and try to read it again. And I couldn't because, you know, it's like, I'm looking, I can see the face of the man that experienced this, and I get to hang out with that man, and it
personalizes it.
Yeah, it gives it a nother.
It's not a video game or you know, blockbuster.
Right. Or even a YouTube clip.
Mm-hmm.
So even though that's reality, it's still, that's their reality. It was really cool. What about your book? Do you talk about your book, or is it a secret until it comes out?
No, yeah, I'm not going to.
Okay, cool. Fair enough.
I'm just going
to. Will you tell me about it offline?
Oh, yeah.
Little hints?
Yeah, okay, absolutely.
Cool. All right.
So, yeah, just been doing that, man. I got kind of, you know, I want to say I got kind of burnt out on a lot of things going on in the Liberty scene for a while. But, you know, I had some personal stuff I was dealing with, so it made it kind of easy to step back from that. But I'm definitely looking forward to getting back into it and just, you know, podcasting is something I love doing.
You're good at it.
I think.
You're good at it. You only get better.
Yeah, I better get better.
You will.
You know, I don't want to rest on my laurels too much. So, yeah, man. It's, I guess I'm just, I'm kind of having a malaise in terms of, I don't know what you want to call it, man. Suburban burnout, or I'm just not where I want to be in my life, like personally, you know, like so I'm trying to take steps to kind of see what I can do to.
Do you have an idea?
To rectify
you have
that
vision. You have all of those cliche words I can throw.
The
at
one thing
you?
I don't have is time. when you have kids and you have a job and all the requisite stuff that goes with that, you know. So, yeah. basically just trying to maximize the amount of individual, you know,
right,
satisfaction and personal liberty that I can achieve in my, yeah, in my life where I'm at right now. Because I'm trying to think, I would love nothing more than to not live in the valley anymore. I love Phoenix for what it is.
Me too. I do. As far as big city goes, this is one of my favorites. Yeah, absolutely.
I don't think I would be able to live in another large city, just in terms of the cost of living here. Very affordable for now. It is like,
for now, yeah.
Yeah, well, it's Maricopa County is the fastest growing county in the country, dude. And especially the area that we're in right now is pretty competitive in terms of its growth and home prices and stuff. So it's kind of an interesting time to be right here. But, you know, something that my wife and I, we always talk about is getting to a more rural setting. You know what I mean? Along the lines of what you have, you know what I mean? Like you and I, we both grew up in a very small town, which is great.
You know, absolutely.
When I look back on it, you know, I love
it for granted when you were there.
Absolutely. You know, but that's the nature of humanity is
of course.
Grass is always greener. Right. But, but, so when we became adults, you know, graduated high school, you know, obviously you want to take that, you know, there's a whole world out there. You want to get out into it, you know, and Phoenix was the next biggest step, you know, next biggest city. So, it's kind of just a logical jump there, you know, especially when you consider, I think, that most people or the majority of people live within like 50 miles of where they, you know, grew up.
Oh, that's historically that's the case, too. I mean, people didn't really move around a lot. It's jet setting is really only but to becoming more ubiquitous in the last, what, six decades, you know, five decades. But yeah, I got out of Page and still did small town resort things. And my first big city life was in Seattle.
Nice.
When I was 20, I did that for a little over a year, and then back to Page. And then
I like visiting Seattle. I could not live there.
I wouldn't want to live there again either.
Taxation and gun laws and things like that are high up on my list of preferences.
Right. Like California too. There's so many things about California that I really do like, but there's some other thing in Texas as well. Man, if Texas would get their shit together around marijuana, I don't think I'd be here much longer. I really like that state. I've
been there a few times and I've enjoyed it, you know. It's different, you know. It's kind of a whole nother planet in its own way.
I'm going to East Texas the last week of May, beginning of June. We're going to go spend a few days there. I'm really looking forward to it. It's going to be a good time. Visit some family. See some family I haven't seen ever in some cases. Nice.
So, you know, I would love to be, you know, you spend your whole childhood wanting to get to something bigger, right?
Right.
See the world. And then you get out there. Now I just want to go back. You know, I want to move to a, you know, small mountain town.
Right.
You know, nothing like, you know, super small, but
right.
Just a smaller town out where it's not 1,000 degrees in the summer, and you know,
right.
I don't want to be shoveling 6 feet of snow either, but you know, in the winter, but
right.
There's so much that I do love about being in a city. You know, breweries for one,
craft beer.
But now you're starting to see, you know, more of that cropping up in smaller towns and the distribution network is better. And
where we're at outside of Prescott is pretty great because Prescott is right there.
Mm-hmm.
But it's funny, even now, like going into Prescott feels like coming into Phoenix sometimes.
it's grown a lot, man.
Yeah, because we're in Chino Valley. We're in Chino Valley, and it's really small. And then my property's in Ash Fork, which is really small. So going into Prescott, I mean, it's occasionally during those rush hour times, it's like it takes a little bit to get across town. You feel it.
Mm-hmm. So
I have a hard time adapting back to. I can come to Phoenix on the weekends when there's not a lot going on.
Right.
But man.
And the snowbirds are gone.
Yeah. Hopefully. Yeah.
You can actually drive on the road.
Right.
Yeah.
That's why I don't miss riding motorcycles in snowbird season.
No, yeah. I don't like driving a normal car during snowbird season, so I can only imagine, you know, actually being on a bike during that. Jesus, jeepers. Yeah. So,
right.
You know, I'm just trying to focus on living my best life, man.
Right.
You know? Or just cliche as that sounds, but
yeah, of course,
you know, there's so much pressure to, you know, check the boxes or kind of live, you know, what's expected of you, you know, like, to have a lawn, you know, yeah. I have a lawn. I hate grass.
Yeah.
If it grows naturally, that's great, but
right.
having a lawn in Phoenix, does not make any sense in terms of
yeah.
water, how much water it takes, in terms of, and it's just a waste of time to me, you know,
mm-hmm. It's totally a waste of time. I agree
in terms of maintaining it.
And then the little,
it's just not efficient, man. And yeah, I'm not a fan of it, but just little things like that, you know, that you don't have to worry about because you're on a bus. Living in a bus down by the river,
down by the Dust Bowl. living in a bus down by the Dust Bowl.
You know,
it's dusty in Chino, man. It is cool though. It's quiet. It's nice. The neighbors are great. We don't have a garden though. I don't have that the luxury of that. I might, but it's still like there's things that I envy, like of being in a house. Like a workshop is tough. You know, I'm in welding school right now. Mm-hmm. I've got all this equipment, but in order for me, even if I want to spend 10 minutes welding, I got to spend 20 minutes setting up, you know, cause I don't have the ability to just set out a workshop and have it be, oh, I want to go weld for 10 minutes. I just got to flip the switch and do a little bit of prep and go to work. That doesn't exist.
You got it. Yeah.
So there's that. Some of the challenges are definitely space. It gets cluttery very quickly. We're getting ready to go through another purge, though. The first purge was painful. It was, oh man,
that
going from, you know, 1,500 square feet worth of, you know,
stuff.
How many decades worth of stuff?
Sure.
Down to our bus, I think our usable space is like 190 square feet.
Wow.
You know, we're 7.5 feet wide, and I think our bus is 40 feet all told.
Mm-hmm.
But if you take off the bed, because that's not really. It's storage underneath and sleeping on, and you mm-hmm. take off the front of the bus where the, you know, the engine's out front, and then the driving area, you know, we're maybe 30 feet by 7 feet. So,
that's crazy, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tip of the cap to you for being able to do it.
But at the same time, it's not been as hard as I thought it was, as we kind of thought it was going to be either.
Do you find yourself like spending more time outdoors, or you know what I mean, like just hanging out outside?
Yeah,
with the weather allowing.
Depending on where we are, yeah. You know? Living up in Flagstaff last summer, that was it. Mm-hmm. You know, get up in the morning, go sit outside, have coffee. You know, go back in, make breakfast, go for a hike. You know, but there has to be some sort of income, though. It'd be nice if that could be the life forever, which mm-hmm. is, you know, why we're in Chino now. And Dawn went to work, and I wanted to go to school, so I'm in welding school right now.
Right.
So, you know, where we're at now, honestly, no, we kind of are in our own doldrum. You know, she's working full time. I'm in school full time and working part time. Not school full time. I'm sorry, but school part time, work part time, keeping the bus up, and then we watch TV.
Yeah, how does that work? Do you because when you're on your property, how do you get internet or
we don't on my property.
You don't. Okay.
Right now, not no.
You don't do satellite or anything like
no,
that.
No, not yet. Not yet. Eventually, we'll get there. That's available out there. The internet's super quick with satellite. You know, once the support is out there and the infrastructure is out there, then all that'll be set up. But for now, it's raw. It's
you get
camping.
Cell service out
it's
there.
Camping barely.
Yeah.
There's a few spots on my property that if you kind of stand in the right spot, you'll be able to make a few minutes of phone call, but don't count on having a long conversation.
Right.
A few minutes drive and you can get to cell service.
Mm-hmm.
But even that, like once we have infrastructure, then we can send up a cell booster and we'll have cell service in an office.
Nice.
So
make it a little easier to.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. It would be cool to see if you could, you know, parlay your experience creating, you know, your home
mm-hmm.
and your welding skills into, like, you know, maybe is that something you might want to do? Like, if, you know, other people wanted it, you say, hey,
yeah,
I could, you know, this is what I did. I can help you do that.
Ultimately, that would be the dream for mm-hmm. me. You know, I talk about going to welding school and then going to work as a pipeliner. That's going to be just another, you know, what does that do for, it's made me question my ethics as far as my reliance on fossil fuels, yada, yada, yada. But, you know, exactly. That eye roll is
that's
where I'm
world,
at now.
That's the world like, we live in.
I exactly. Mean, why
if,
fight it?
If solar and wind and all these things were as viable and marketable as we'd like them to be, then they would be more commonly in use. You know what I mean? Right. So if they're, they'll get there eventually. I just don't think it's there yet. And that's great. But for the, you know, and, I think, for the moment, we have to kind of realize that, you know, that's what the world runs on.
Right. And even back to what we were talking about, hauling water earlier, it's amazing how little power ultimately I have to use in that bus. And it's the usage of power, it's so cheap. We don't realize how cheap our power is because of all of that. And if we used actual efficient things, then we wouldn't need to use as much power. Anyway, we digress.
Well, I'm just happy to hear you're not going like full anarcho-primitivist on me. So, you know.
Oh, there's something to be said about that.
You're welding and stuff. I'm like, okay, he's cool with technology.
Yeah,
but
the dream, though, back to that. Yeah, the dream for me would, you know, my favorite thing in that bus, as silly as it sounds, is our dining room table. Like, that's nice. It's beautiful. Mm-hmm. I'm so proud of that thing. It's the story behind it and everything. It's a slab of wood that we got from a lumber mill here in Phoenix that they only mill trees that grew in the valley. And their primary goal when they started, it's become a business, a thriving business, but their primary goal is a couple of retired guys that just wanted to keep trees out of landfills. There is beautiful exotic hardwoods people have in their landscaping all over this valley, and wind knocks them down, and a lot of them just wind up in the landfill. So I wound up with this slab of eucalyptus, and I inlaid the checks with some turquoise sandstone that I found, and then, you know, polished it all up, and it's beautiful. So the dream for me would be, I'd love to be able to teach people how to build their own buses, but also I want to design and build furniture. I love that wooden metal look is really appealing to me. So
nice, man.
All of that. And then, you know, with the property, I've done a lot of workshops. You know, I've paid for a lot of workshops. I did my natural building apprenticeship. I met Don doing a rocket mass heater workshop. I'd like to start facilitating workshops for other, like, professionals to come in, and I get the work done on my property. People get to do a workshop, but then eventually also be able to start teaching workshops myself, and then parlay all of that together.
Nice.
Would be great. I mean, ultimately my passion is sustainability and, you know, making it so everybody has everything they need. That's my ultimate dream. That's my idealist, my utopia, if you will.
So do you find yourself, when you're not as plugged in, I guess, because of your lack of access to, you know, the internet or whatever, how do you think that affects you, like, personally? Do you feel like maybe you're better off? Is it something that you feel like you're missing out on? Because I mean, it's a small thing. It doesn't really, it's not on the level you are, but I recently uninstalled. Oh, I'm sure you heard about the whole thing with the Cambridge Analytica and Facebook and everything. Mm-hmm. It really shouldn't have came to a shock to most people, but that these people were basically selling your data. What I wanted to do was kind of reclaim some of my privacy. You know, that's kind of a big thing that I've been focusing on, like, in terms of just not giving out my data, you know what I mean? I've listened, there's a very good podcast, Sovereign Tech, by Brian Sovereign. He's a anarchist guy who talks a lot about technology, and he gives a lot of good tips for just not making it easy for these people to take your data and sell it.
Right.
And so I finally got around to, like, uninstalling the Facebook
app on your phone
and Messenger app on my phone, because fuck them. But I still have it on my computer. I'll jump on, like, whereas when I had it on my phone, I was on it all the time. You know, you go sit down and you open up the Facebook app, you know.
Oh, with the Wi-Fi signal, not Wi-Fi, but cell service. Honestly, there's only been a couple of spots that we've been parked that I've had bad service. So as much as I'd like to romanticize about the time that I spent last summer living up in Flagstaff, I had cell service. So even then, way too much time on Facebook.
Right.
Way too much time. I'm sitting in the forest in beautiful aspens.
Yeah. And you're arguing with me about shit on Facebook.
Arguing with you about shit on Facebook. Yeah, exactly. And it's like, well, what am I doing, right? Yeah, right. And it's only recently that I've started to kind of acknowledge the impact that that's had in my life. And even still, like, I find myself unconsciously standing in line at the grocery store, and I just reach for my phone because I want to be entertained. And only recently, in the last couple of weeks, I've started, when I have that urge, I consciously tell myself, no, look at people, look around. Mm-hmm. Like, so it's, that's...
Be aware.
Yeah, yeah, it's be aware. Yeah, yeah.
Situation, yeah, for me, that's one thing. It's
situational awareness.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah, I've taken those classes. Why am I distracted by this mm-hmm. little talkie box device in my hand right here? And that's been, I've noticed that a lot lately, like how detrimental that's been in my mm-hmm. life and continues to be. I'm not past it. I've never thought of myself as an addict. Holy shit, I'm an addict. You know what I mean? It's there. When I was up on Mingus, the cell service up there was really bad, really bad. And I was out a lot more. I went out. I'd get bored and I'd go out mm-hmm. a lot more. And I mean, that's what we did as kids, isn't it?
Right. Go outside.
Yeah.
Throw dirt clods at each other.
Yeah. Almost step on that rattlesnake that you would have not seen otherwise.
If you're looking at your damn phone. Right?
No. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I've totally gotten rid of the apps, and I log on maybe once a day. Okay. I mean, I found that I don't really miss it. Like,
yeah.
There's a couple of days where I didn't log on at all, you know. And I just log on and I'll like look at my notifications. Uh-huh. It's like 20 now, you know, that just pile up and I'm like, okay. Right. I might jump on and like, you know, antagonize a few people with my libertarian autism and all, but you know, for the most part, yeah, I'm spending way less time on it. But conversely, I've started spending more time on Twitter.
Oh right.
So, you know, which I'm actually learning to enjoy. Like I set up my Twitter account for the I don't have a personal one yet. I might start one, but I set it up for the podcast, you know,
right,
for the
ZGY
show. And I would go on there every once in a while and tinker around with it, but I never really engaged
right.
with anybody. But I've actually started to like it a little bit more, you know, and I still use it, so it's kind of taken the place of Facebook, at least on my phone. But I still think I spend way less time. I spend less time on Twitter than I would
on
Facebook,
right.
So I still think it's kind of like a net win in that regard, you know what I mean?
I've been thinking about Instagram for the things that I do, you know what I like? Mm-hmm. Like Don and I have talked about an Instagram for the bus, and it's, you know, not about us, it's about living in the bus.
No, that's
and
great.
We're just a part of it.
I'm not on Insta either, but if for something like that, yeah. Where you,
or like welding projects, mm-hmm. as I get better and I'm doing things, and even before I'm good, like, hey, this is me learning and I'm screwing up, and mm-hmm. you know, publish that as well. Because I mean, for me, I notice that I've got such a high expectation of myself. I beat myself up when I do things poorly, and but by doing it poorly, you get good at it, or I've gotten better at it, right? Right. But in my mind, so one of the things that's been helpful for me is watching YouTube videos of people who are not good at things, and being honest about it. But then, you know, watching them get better at it, and
right.
now they're really good at it.
No, I'm sure going.
And that's it. So, but even segmenting my virtual life is that the virtual life is coming,
mm-hmm.
you know, so maybe I need to compartmentalize it. You know, Facebook is my political, I don't give a shit what you think, I'm going to be an asshole phase. Instagram is what I do. Twitter is whatever, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? And start compartmentalizing, but I don't know. Maybe it's just better to get off of it altogether, and you know, just the idea of putting out the stuff that is what I'm doing because, you know, I want to market myself and figure out a way to monetize myself.
Right.
And
those are big tools to do it.
Right.
I don't know if you are you familiar with Gary Vaynerchuk?
No. Gary Vee.
Gary Vee, right.
Yeah,
exactly.
Okay. Yeah, okay, yeah.
So
I haven't listened to a lot of him. I listened to him on Joe Rogan. I've listened to a couple of mm-hmm. his things with Don.
But he talks a lot about documenting the process, you know,
okay.
like using things like Snapchat or Instagram okay. to document not just the finished product, but the process of
mm-hmm.
Creating it. So kind of like what you were talking about with the bus,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean? Or your welding, or if and when you do kind of make furniture, you know,
furniture,
yeah.
even hunting, fishing, the stuff that you talked, the anarcho, what do you call that?
Anarcho primitivist.
Yeah. I love that stuff. I don't want to live like that, but I love practice.
Right. don't want to run around in a loincloth.
Nah.
As you do, more power to you.
Right.
I happen to love technology, so
yeah, me too. I'm afraid of it.
But yeah, so yeah, it's I think if you're using it, that's a smart way to use social media. You know what I mean? And you can do it. You can do it right. I mean, it's crazy what you can do nowadays with technology, with things like Twitch, which is like a live video game streaming. Esports are just getting to be huge, especially with this thing like Fortnite. I don't know if you heard about it. It's like a battle royale type game where a bunch of people get on, multiplayer, go in, and you can kind of create structures. Anyway, kids are like insane over it.
All right.
And I downloaded it. It was free, so I played it for like 20 minutes. It's a fun game.
Right.
You know, I'm not going to put a lot of time into it, but
I miss games.
There are people who are playing Fortnite and streaming on Twitch and like making thousands of dollars a month, you know? Yeah. I mean, and those are outliers or you know, extreme examples. Of course, right. But
they're the Michael Jordans.
Yeah, and there's actually a college in Ohio, I think, that is now offering a scholarship for Fortnite. So like if you're good enough at this game, you go be on their esports team.
I wonder how that plays into the future of technology.
No, it's crazy right now, man.
I mean, like I said earlier, I love it when a quote kind of rocks my world and makes me kind of get things in a different perspective. And one of those quotes for me was Elon Musk about technology, about virtual reality. And he said, and I'll paraphrase it. He says, basically, when a virtual reality is created that is indistinguishable from base reality, in that instance, that virtual reality will create an infinite number of virtual realities within itself. Mathematically speaking, what are the odds that this reality is base reality? And it's like, holy shit, I'm in the Matrix.
No, I knew you were gonna say that. I don't hate the Matrix. Sorry, Jim. Sorry, Jim Jesus. I it's a good movie. It's not a great, but it's a good movie. I enjoy it. No, yeah, it's pretty crazy. So.
Yeah, and I mean, I like
that he's out there warning about how AI is going to kill us. So.
It could. I like Joe Rogan's take on it. How maybe this is just the chrysalis. Maybe we're the caterpillar and the chrysalis, and the butterfly that's going to come out of it is going to be some kind of silicon carbon hybrid.
Yeah, transhumanism.
Transhumanism, exactly. Sweet. And it's like, yeah, you know what? Whatever. If that's the case, it's out of my control, so I'm not worried about it.
Why not?
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah, so where was I going with this? Anyway, it's a great time. You know, it's just amazing. Like, if you really want to do something, there's never been a better time to like pursue it and do it.
Yep.
And potentially bring, you know, create value and bring it to other people.
Right.
And make a living off of doing it, even if it's, you know, living in a van down by the river. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
So oh, I agree completely. I mean,
if you can do it playing video games and shit,
more power to you,
dude.
More power to you. And it's statistically speaking, is the safest time to be alive ever.
Mm-hmm.
Ever. I mean, realistically speaking,
crime, but we need to ban all guns. So.
Right. I know. I mean, violent crime has been steadily dropping for decades. Mm-hmm. Steadily, regardless of the population skyrocketing, the crime per capita is on a steady decline the world over.
Mm-hmm.
Even with all the bullshit that we see in the media, statistically speaking, it's safe.
Absolutely.
Yeah, like Bill Hicks has got that great line. I don't know if you're familiar with it or not. He's got a great bit, and he says, you know, you watch the news, and oh, my God, nuclear war. Oh, my God, spill. Oh, my God, global warming. Oh, my God, this. Oh, my God, that. But when I go outside, I hear a dog barking in the distance and crickets. Like, where is all of this stuff happening right now?
Yeah, no, I'm not a huge Bill Hicks fan, but, you know, when he's right, he's right. Yeah, yeah, you know. Well, that's the whole the prostitutes and the media, you know. Like, so it's right. A whole nother issue.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's I think it's kind of a weird dichotomy right now, man, because I love technology, you know, and I love what you can do with it. I'm not super smart about technology, but I love the potential. You know what I mean? And it's something that that's interesting to me. But then it also, I'm totally almost wanting to turn a lot of it off. Like I don't watch, I don't know if anybody watches cable news or, you know, network news. I mean, I see it like on the break room at work. That's about my only exposure to it. You know, if the TV's on in my home, it's lately it's playing God of War because that game's amazing. Now that's a whole nother, we'll do that whole another review on that on another show. But, I can imagine, you know, I'm not the kind of person that usually walks in the room. You know, they say there's two types of people. Those who walk in the room and turn the TV on, those who turn it off. I just assume turn it off.
Yep, that's me.
Or leave it off. But if it's on, it's usually going to be streaming a show. Or
right.
You know, I can't just sit there and flip the channels, you know.
I can't either.
But I will scroll. I scroll so bad, dude. I'm like the guy. When you go to your Netflix queue or whatever, and I just scroll through everything. I'm like, what's new? You know, and my kids are, they hate it. They're like, Dad, oh, Dad's scrolling again. So, you know, I'm a serial scroller, I guess. But I have a problem. You know, first step is admitting you have a problem.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But
I scroll Facebook. There's mine.
So swipe right.
No. I've never done that. I've never even looked at it.
Tinder,
I guess, is that what that is?
Yeah. I don't know. That's what I've heard. Yeah, I mean, I've been happily married for over a decade now, so I obviously, you know.
Even when I was single, I still never.
I couldn't imagine that. Like, it actually came up. I was talking, you know, with our mutual friend last night, and another guy that we grew up with has, you know, he's single now, you know.
Okay.
And I guess he's been availing himself of the Tinder. And I was just thinking, like, man, it's just so easy now. Like, because I remember.
At what cost, though?
Well, yeah, exactly. I don't know, you know. But what, right. You know, if it's mutual and safe and.
Right.
Then who's great. Judge? You know what I mean? You know?
Right.
I guess it's. But I'm just thinking, like, man. I remember, and I was never like, you know, I was never like seriously trying to hook up with people on the internet or, you know, back in the day, but I had roommates that were, and
have you ever not hooked up necessarily, but did you ever meet anybody online?
No.
I flew to,
which that's fine. Cause I mean, if people do, I know, I have people that in my, you know, friends and family that have met people online and they've had relationships for years. So that's,
that's too.
Great. You know,
me too.
If it works, it works.
I was but catfish.
It's just
once.
So much. Oh no! All right, dude. Yeah, now you can't bury the lead. You got to tell me what happened.
Oh, it's just in the.
If you want to,
it doesn't bother me at all. It's just in the infancy of internet, and you know, I was in my 20s, in my late 20s, maybe early 30s, who's this? Ooh, we're talking? Ooh, we're talking on the phone? Where, you know, this. Relationship back and forth and you know, for months, you know, and I wasn't dating anybody, so I get to talk to this person on the phone and feel this affection and
right, you get a emotional connection.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. And okay, she's in Boise, Idaho, and oh, I've got friends in Boise, so I got a place I can stay. So all right, I'm coming. I bought a ticket. She's supposed to pick me up at the airport.
Wow.
Like I said, luckily I had friends in Boise. Like I spent a long weekend. I had a great time. I had friends in Boise, so I got to hang out with my friends.
But it was, you actually spoke to her, so you knew.
I spoke with her on the phone, yeah. And I mean, that was before video chat.
Yeah, it wasn't like a dude pretending to be a chick.
No, we actually spoke on the phone quite a few times.
That's rough, bro.
But yeah, it was.
But, you got to go to Idaho, man.
Yeah,
I'd love to go up there.
Yeah, I got to hang out at Hump and Hannah's one night. That's a fun bar.
Hopefully it's still there.
It is.
Nice.
It is. Still have friends in Boise.
It's not a total loss. I mean, you had friends up there anyway.
Right, exactly. I wouldn't have done it if
it's
I didn't
a silver
have that.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I wouldn't have done it if I didn't have that cushion.
The fallback.
Yeah, right. That plan B.
Smart.
But yeah, I get catfished.
Yeah, luckily that never happened.
I don't even remember her name, actually. I've put it that far out of my mind. I don't even remember her name.
I did have one of my roommates at the time. He invited some girl over, and then when she came over, he told me to tell her he wasn't there. it was like the biggest dick move.
I'm
like, I think I did it. And now that I'm thinking back, I'm like, you know what? I should have been like, no, yeah, he's in the back. I should have just let her in.
Make your bed, buddy.
Like, yeah, no, hey, I'm not gonna. You know, you tell her to go away. But yeah. So that's about the closest I ever came. Was, you know, running interference for him, I guess. But Jesus, what a time,
right?
So anyway, yeah, it's just so much, like you said, the level of convenience, man, or accessibility is so much. Kids these days don't know the struggle, you know, right, what we had to go through.
And the like, wow, what,
just,
that
just don't get your Tinder and Twitch mixed up, or don't stream your Tinder on Twitch, I guess. Anyway, what are you gonna say?
I don't remember. I got caught up in twitching Tinder, huh?
Twindering.
Twitchering.
There you go.
What about movies?
Oh, anyway, where I was going, I was trying to say, it's like, yeah, I'm totally intrigued, but I'm also appalled, you know, by just the sheer amount of refuse that's being, you know, pumped into, you know, your life through these platforms. So it's you know, it's great, but it's hard. You have to work hard to be selective, I think.
Yeah,
know? And
yeah,
that's so much real coming at you. Sometimes I just don't have the energy to do it, so I just like checked out for a little while.
What do you like when you are in an area where the television's on commercial television? How do you fit, or even listening to the radio? Do you just listen to the radio anymore?
No, man, I don't. Does anybody?
Yeah, right.
No, I normally listen to. I was listening to nothing but podcasts for a while, and then I went through like a whole phase where I didn't listen to podcasts at all for a while, and I was just streaming music.
That's pretty much.
And now I'm starting to get back into, you know,
back and forth a little bit.
Yeah. So
yeah, I kind of did the same thing. Like, I finally bit the bullet and subscribed to one of those unlimited music things, and I'm glad I finally did it. It's like, you know, honestly, I'm going to buy a CD a month if I don't, or buy an album a month anyway if I don't. Not right. CDs anymore. And like, it's cheaper just to pay for this and listen to anything I want whenever I want.
Well, I'm old school, man. I love having hard copies of things. You know what I mean? Call me crazy, but you know, streaming is great. I had like a 3-month trial with Google right now. And I'm liking it so far, the Google Music. Plus you get the YouTube Red with it. Yeah, so my birthday's, like you said, my birthday's coming up, so I might ask for like a Google Play cards or a subscription for my birthday. Right. You know, because I don't want to pay it monthly. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
It's just another expense. But yeah, right. At the same time, like I love music, and it's just a great way to get exposed to bands that you would never hear,
right?
Or give a chance. But right. I still love having something in my hand, dude. Either I do eventually want to get vinyl going, you know, I want to get a record player, start getting vinyl, but, I usually like to just buy the CD or whatever and then import it to my computer or whatever. That way I know that if I'm ever without, you know, a phone or a method to stream it, I can, you know, pop in my, you know, the modern day 8-track version of the 8-track and put in a CD.
I think I've got 5 CDs left. And that's it.
Wow.
Out of the hundreds and hundreds of CDs, I have about 5. And the only reason I have those ones is because, like, I've got 3 Sage Francis CDs that I bought from him and he signed for me.
Nice.
I've got B. Dolan that I bought from him and he signed for me. And I've got Rise Against that I bought from them that they signed for me.
So it's more like a collector or sentimental.
Right. And that's it. Otherwise, like, I'm glad I don't have to haul it around. The one thing that I don't haul it around, if I didn't own property, I wouldn't still have it, but I've got books. Mm-hmm. I've got a library that even when I got rid of probably 2/3 of my library and a lot of ancillary stuff. Mm-hmm. And I still have easily more than I see here to my left in boxes and 500 pounds of books.
Yeah. I've pared it down a bit.
Yeah.
I'm the same way. I'd like eBooks. I still want to have something in my hand, man.
Right.
My phone, you know, my battery's dead or, yep. You know what I mean?
And there's something to be said. There's also I was listening to a podcast about sleep and had some PhD, you know, sleep doctor on there. And he was saying that even putting your device on evening mode where it changes the light
yellow
thing.
Filter or whatever.
Yeah, the yellow filter. Mm-hmm. It's still signaling your brain not to make melatonin. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you've got just a dim light, and you're reading a book, like that's telling your brain to make melatonin so you go to sleep. So there's something about the mm-hmm. actual book out then down.
It's not just me. It's not just me getting old. Okay.
So
it's science.
Yeah, it's science.
Yeah, I don't know. I think there's a balance there, you know.
Yeah,
it's preference, you know. Some people prefer everything easy and electronic. I like, you know, something corporeal. You know,
yeah, right.
Be able to hold it in your hand. So,
yeah, it's the same thing with living tiny. Like, I don't think I would be able to do it if I didn't know that I had 40 acres. You know, that's just being kind of real, mm-hmm. or because I've got that space. I've got that space. But at the same time, there really is a lot of freedom that comes. I don't have a mortgage.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Nice.
Right. But then there's the occasional stressors of not being sure if I'm going to have a place to park.
Yeah, it's
next month.
Trade-off.
Yeah, it's a trade-off.
I'd gladly trade you my mortgage right now, buddy. No, I'm just kidding.
No, thanks. Just kidding. No, thanks. Debt-free is the new wealthy.
I agree completely, man. And I think there is, like, people are kind of looking at, like, newer paradigms. Or why should I shackle myself to, you look at the root of the word mortgage. It's right. Mort.
Yep.
It's death. That's you agree to pay until you die. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Payment until death. And then at some point, even after you pay that off, you don't own your home,
right?
Because my property taxes, right? Right. You don't pay those,
yep.
They come and take it,
yep.
You know? So, you know, there, I think it does make sense in some ways to look at, like, here's an option that I have where I can spend a fraction of what, I would spend on a home, you know, buy a $300,000 home, or I could buy $30,000 on,
right.
on a tiny house and, you know, maybe some land somewhere. And, you know, I would, you know, you're obviously sacrificing some of the more standard or accepted conveniences, like, you know, having more room or
mm-hmm.
whatnot, but, you know, or cell service and there's Wi-Fi. Mm-hmm. But yeah, mm-hmm. there's ways around that. So, but I think more and more people are kind of looking at, maybe this isn't, like, you know, the best option for me. So,
right. And what does that do to the economy?
Who cares? You know.
Yes, I mispronounced that on purpose.
I know. You know, what does it do? Well, I mean, it grows it. If there's a demand for it, then
right.
You know, people right. are going to step up and supply it.
Right.
Assuming you know that there's enough demand and that it's feasible. So.
So tell me about, you know, you said you wanted to talk about that later, but you've been playing some video games. I haven't been able to play video games in a while. Like, I don't have a system, no internet for it. Like, I was big into World of Warcraft for a long time.
Dude.
And I miss it.
I played so much WoW, and then I had kids.
Yeah?
The problem with games like World of Warcraft, which is a massively multiplayer online game,
mm-hmm.
so you're hooked up to the internet, you're playing with people all over the world, mm-hmm, whatever, mm-hmm. Is that you can't really pause it.
Yeah.
You know, for me, it was like, I played that game for a while, man. I loved it. And then you start having kids and,
yeah,
you know, you can't really say, okay, hold on, guy. You know, if you're in the middle of a raid,
yeah,
you know, or whatever, you know, yep. You can't really just hit the pause button and go change the diaper or you know, kiss the owies or whatever. You know what I'm saying?
Yep, yep.
Just too much of a time commitment. but no, I played the shit out of that game. I loved it, man.
What's the face of gaming look like now? I mean, I've done a little bit of the virtual reality stuff. That was pretty impressive. That was pretty cool.
I'm right now, like, everything is changing towards, it's a lot of the online stuff, obviously. Like, the biggest thing right now is Fortnite, like I mentioned, or games like that. There's also Player Unknown Battlegrounds or PUBG or whatever. I've never played that. I don't have the Xbox. I know it's on PC, but my computer sucks. It won't run it. So, But yeah, you're getting more. Those games are becoming more and more popular too. The fact that Call of Duty, Black Ops,
okay, the first person shooter type.
Yeah, the first person shooter I think is coming out later this year, and they're talking about not even having. There's some debate whether they're even going to have a single player storyline with it. You know, because usually if you buy like the first person shooters. There's the mission or single player, and then the multiplayer.
Right.
Which, you know, you're buying it for the multiplayer, and then, you know.
I like the storyline.
I do, too. Yeah. I'm a big story guy.
When the newer Star Wars, I don't know how long it was before we moved into the bus, my roommate was playing it like crazy. But you could only play online.
Oh, Battlefront?
Yeah, and it was like, no, not for me. I want to be able to go and play against AI for a little while before I go out and get, you know, play with other players.
I think on Battlefront 2 there was some there's a mission on that one. First Battlefront, Star Wars Battlefront didn't have it was all multiplayer. You're right, but the Battlefront 2 or whatever,
okay,
there was like a small campaign on it. But yeah, they're talking about jettisoning that the single player game and just going straight like battle royale style, right. Which is what the PUBGs and Fortnite is doing. Because that's where people make – that's where they're going to make their money.
Are those games – the Fortnite, that's a first-person shooter type game as well?
It's like over the shoulder, so like third person.
Okay.
But yeah, it's a run and gun and, you know, type of game.
All right.
So you can obviously zoom in, I think. But okay. Most of the action is over the shoulder. So I think that's kind of troublesome because I love story. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And it's growing, you know, people older than us, I think they look at video games as like a child's thing. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? And it can be, right? Okay.
Because
they grew up and it was, you know, Atari and then it was Super Mario. Ding, 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 ding. You know what I mean? They don't realize is that a lot of these games are great stories. They're narrative devices just the same as
a movie or a
TV show. Absolutely. You know, obviously, if you're just running around and shooting people online, that's not mm-hmm. a story. But
mm-hmm.
I probably sunk over 100 hours or so into The Witcher 3. Which it's an RPG, so you know that.
I liked the Elder Scrolls. I played mm-hmm. Morrowind a lot.
Yeah.
And Morrowind was one of my favorites. And then, what was that Xbox game that I really enjoyed? There was an Xbox game that came out in Part 2. I can't think of it. It's been so long.
Dragon Age or something? No.
It's the one where you could...
Fable.
Yeah. Yeah, I really enjoyed Fable. And Fable 2 was really good.
Yeah, there's some good games, but... So that's kind of troubling, or worrying me. Is like, I don't want to lose games that tell stories just so that we can, you know, run around and shoot other people, which is fun. Don't get me wrong, I love doing that, but mm-hmm, mm-hmm. if it starts impacting like games that tell a story, that's gonna bother me. So I just picked up the God of War on PS4. Phenomenal, dude. It's when I talk about a story or narrative device, this game that describes this game perfectly. It's I don't know if you're familiar with the God of War series, and mm-hmm. you don't really have to be because this takes place at like decades or whatever after those, and it's based on the same character, and there are probably, you know, callbacks to it or things that you would appreciate if you knew the story.
Okay.
But it's set in a whole nother, it used to be set in like ancient Greece.
Okay.
Where you were at war with Zeus and the pantheon of gods. Well, now it's set in Norse mythology.
Okay.
So you're still the same guy, the same like Spartan guy, but you're in another realm, and it's insane just in terms of there's no loading screens. Like once you load it up, it just plays.
Wow.
Like it doesn't stop. It's like, so it is literally almost like watching a movie. So until you die or save it, like you have to manually save it, it doesn't stop.
Okay.
You know, there's no, because the first time I was playing it, and if you play these games enough, you get a feel for the rhythm. Like, oh, I should be coming up to like a checkpoint or break in the story, or, you know.
Right, right.
And it just didn't happen. I totally forgot. I'm like, oh, crap. You know, oh, I forgot it doesn't stop. So it's really easy to just
lose time.
Yeah, you look down and you're like, oh shit, I've been playing for 3 hours. I, you know, felt like 10 minutes, and it's 3 hours later. You know, slight exaggeration, but not much. So it's the story so far is just great. You know, I'm not going to spoil anything. Yeah, I'm not that far along in it, but you know, it's basically you're there and you're you have your kid. You're trying to, you know, instruct him, you know, and take care of him. And I think so there's that whole father son.
I think I've seen the ads for that. I usually skip ads, but maybe I have seen that. I'll have to look it up.
You can go play it in a minute if you want.
All right.
I'll show you.
Cool.
But no, fantastic game. So
that's cool. Yeah. I haven't played a good video game in a long time and I miss it. I do miss it. I mean, I still play Final Fantasy III on my iPad.
Nice, man.
That's that old.
Even before.
Yep, and
that's before Final Fantasy VII, wasn't it? No,
again, then Chrono Trigger.
Which I love, dude. Final Fantasy VII. Holy crap!
I was starting to get out of video games by then for a while, and then I got back into them when Xbox came out, and you know, Fable and all that good stuff. So,
yeah, they do make like retro consoles now. You know, like the Super NES one.
Yeah, I've seen that.
A lot of people will just buy a Raspberry Pi
processor. And load it with an emulator.
Right. So, I mean, like, you got some options in terms of offline play. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And that wouldn't take up a lot. I don't think that would take up a lot of room. The next thing, you know, there are options out there. You know, they're not all multiplayer. So, if you want to pick up a, you know.
Has that God of War? Is that one of those options where it doesn't have to be online? Or does that one have to be online?
You might have to like update it every once in a while, but you should be able to just, you know, buy it and go.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean, I don't have a gaming system at all right now, but someday, someday. I do miss sitting down and getting lost in that.
Yeah, I mean, it's just funny how people have their own. They always try to impose their own preferences.
Right.
Know? Like, where are you wasting time playing video games? And then, you know, they're binge watching, you know, Rick and Morty, or whatever, you know,
the Kardashians.
Right, yeah. Thank you. That's better. I like Rick and Morty. It's a good show. Yeah. I just don't watch a lot of it. I'm not a true libertarian, I guess. No, but lately I haven't been watching much TV at all because I've been playing God of War, but I've been watching The Terror. That's a great show.
Oh, God, what have I watched lately? If we're going to.
I read that book like 3 times, so I had to watch the show.
Fair enough. Dude, you, God, it was years ago, not Ready Player One. I still haven't seen that or read that.
I heard it. People love the book. I heard that movie was good. I haven't seen either or read it.
Oh, man. Why can't I think of it now? Ender's Game.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, I had no idea they were even making a movie.
Mm-hmm.
And this dude gave me that book. And shortly after he gave me the book, he came over the next day and kind of went off his rocker a little bit and actually wound up being committed for a while.
Oh, boy.
And so it was after he read that book.
Don't blame the book.
So I'm like, okay.
Because I've read the book and I might be off my rocker, but I've never been committed.
So I'm like, all right, maybe I need to read this book.
Hey.
So I read it.
Drives you crazy.
And I loved it. It was a great book.
Yeah, it is. It's very good.
Like, I remember the morning that I finished reading the book. I got up and I didn't even get out of bed. Like, I just had one chapter left. So I got up and I rolled over and I finished reading the book and I put the book down and I opened my phone and the first thing I saw was a post from you that the movie was dropping that day and you were excited to go see the movie.
Yeah.
So, like I said, I didn't know that this kid just gave me this book, and I've been off television for a long time, so I have no idea what's coming out unless somebody tells me about it. You told me about it the morning I finished reading that book. I got up, took a shower, ate breakfast, went in and caught the matinee 4 hours later.
Mm-hmm.
And the movie was good.
It was good.
The movie was good.
I wish it would have done better, but because I know there's a couple books after that in that series. And I think I started to read the second one, but I never got to it. Yeah, where he's older. You know, and in the movie or the first book, he's a child.
Right, right.
For the if people haven't read it or whatever, really strong, like, you know, anti-military message.
Yeah, totally.
And I think the author was a former Marine. I could be wrong. I don't remember.
Neither do I.
Or maybe it was the Marines recommended it for read. It was like recommended reading for, you know, some of them. Anyway,
I like the way that it really kind of questioned the ethics of who we call us and them. I really enjoyed that perspective at the end of it. It's like, wait a minute, this is just another life form trying to do its own thing, just like we are, but they look different than us, so kill it.
Because bugs.
Yeah. Because bugs, yeah, exactly. Charles Eisenstein is somebody that has really become very influential for me.
Don't know who that is.
He's Mankind Project, which is you've heard me talk quite a bit about the Mankind Project. But anyway, he was on Oprah recently. Love or hate her, her Super Soul Sunday is her Super Soul
Sunday. Our next president
can be great. Yeah.
Oh God,
I'm voting Camacho.
Yeah, me too, buddy. It's got what plants crave.
Yes, it does. But he talks about the story of separation versus the story of reunion. And it's one of those quotes like the Musk one earlier for me. And he says, the story of separation says that if I live the entirety of you, if I experienced all of you, of course I would do no differently than you. You know, that's a story of reunion. If I lived the entirety of your experience, I would be you. I would be no different than you, and you the me, if you lived all of me. The story of separation, which is what we're kind of in right now, is if I lived your entirety, I would do differently than you because I'm somehow better for whatever reason. Like, I have – that's kind of ridiculous. And it's that same kind of thing in the Ender's Game. In the end, where he has that realization of, well, wait a minute, why are we fighting? You know, we're not trying to communicate, and it melts away at that us versus them, and we're all just people. You know, in that case, bugs and people.
Yeah, the problem is people are horrible. So
historically, yes,
no, they just are, man. I'm a misanthrope. I'm not gonna lie.
I'm not afraid of the worst of myself.
Yeah, you know, we all have the capacity for great evil and great good. Yep. So.
Yeah, and say the greater the capacity for good. There's a better quote or there's a better paraphrase.
Right.
Somebody smarter than me said it exactly that. The greater the capacity for generosity, the greater the capacity for atrocity, or something along those lines.
It rhymes anyway.
Yeah.
Always important.
Yes. Gets people's attention.
All right, man. Well, I don't know.
Yeah, I want to try this. I want to see this God of War in real time.
Yeah, let's go play that.
Let's go. Yeah.
Cool, man. Well, thanks for coming on, man, Jeremy, and sharing your experiences with us.
Yeah, I'd like to do it more often.
It's good to see you face-to-face, man. I always like having somebody in the ZGY studio here. You know, it's just a different – I love the VOIP thing, you know, talking on Discord or whatever, but anytime you can get, like, the face-to-face is always nice.
So. Yeah, I agree. I want to do that more often. Yeah, so wherever we're parked this summer, come up and visit. We'll do one of these podcasts in the bus. And I have the power. I mean, I don't know if you have a mobile
CGY
setup.
Man. Yeah, I'll make it work.
Yeah, but we've got the power. I could run all this.
Got two turntables and a microphone.
That's where it's at.
All right, man. Thanks for being on.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
See ya.
Later.